Good evening and welcome to the November 16th, 2023 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. I'd like it to call it to order and have a roll call, please.
Mr. Ferguson?
Present.
Mr. Keck?
Present.
Ms. Savage?
Present.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Now, we're going to start, if everyone would stand and join me in a moment of silence for our friends from Tuskegee Valley School District. Our prayers and love go out to their entire community. And we'll remain standing and say the Pledge of Allegiance after this. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I'd now accept a motion to adopt the agenda for tonight's meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call, please.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Next, we get to recognize our Employee of the Month. So I would accept a motion to approve Brittany Singh-Nysain, Navin Elementary Classroom Aide, as the Classified Employee of the Month.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Now, Diane's going to read a little bit, and we will come on down and join you, Brittany, down here.
Brittany will ask you to come up to the front, and the board will come down and stand with you as well. And then I have the privilege of reading what your peers wrote about you and why you received this award. For those of you who are not aware, Brittany serves as an aide for us at Navin Elementary School. Brittany always goes above and beyond to help any classroom and any student. She takes time to check in on students to help them get where they need to go, whether it be arrival, dismissal, or just passing them in the hall. Brittany does whatever it takes to help our students. So congratulations, Brittany. Yeah.
Logistics.
We're going to make it official now with the roll call. Just wait, Brittany, right? No. Well, you're going to get another round of applause here in a second, okay?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes, motion carries. And congratulations again. Thank you so much. All right, I do not think we have any public participation this evening. Nope, okay, then we're going to move on to a presentation from our operations department. Mr. Walker, thanks for being here.
Sorry, it usually takes a little longer for me to get up here, so I was a little slow getting up here. So it's time for our annual permanent improvement update. So we'll run through both process and projects tonight, and we'll finish up with a bit of a financial summary of what we've done in the fiscal year 24. So Every year about this time, actually, we put out a call to buildings requesting items. These would be typically more than a work order items that would have to do with some sort of physical improvement to their school building. So that's part of the process. But really, we're looking at permanent improvement projects all year. We will accept requests all year. We have an invitation that goes out to principals, and we ask them to submit their, what I would call their priorities, really by January. And the purpose for that is that gives us an opportunity to move projects forward and complete them in the window that we have, which is really until the start of school. It's a relatively short process when you think about it. Some of the projects don't necessarily need to be done before the start of school, but many do. And in order to ensure that we have a chance to get those things done, we do ask for those requests to be in by January. Like I said, we'll take them all year, but anything that comes in after January is sort of as time permits. So we also have our own ongoing assessment of our building systems and facilities in general. That is constant. And what we will do is try to project out maybe a year, even 2 or 3 years in advance, such as with the Creekview chiller that you all have, you all will see tonight. But as we discover, or we have things that are sort of on the horizon, as we discover those things, we put those in our, we put those alongside the request from the principals, and then we start to investigate these things and essentially rank them in order of urgency and need. So that typically goes on through February, once we have received all the requests and we've sort of put together our list of priorities from the maintenance department, myself, and others. The investigation can be as little as seeing if there's a request for a wall to come down to see if that's structurally feasible, all the way to getting engineered assessments on projects that are might be quite involved. Most of the mechanicals, you talk about boilers and chillers and things like that, we typically look to engineers, architects and engineers, to give us an assessment, to give us budget numbers and feasibility as far as timeline goes, and comments on lifespans of systems and things like that. So once we've gone through and looked at requests and we've looked at the priority list from maintenance, as I said, we start to prioritize an agenda. In February, once we have come close to completing that, myself, Mr. Langhals, Jeff Wargo, our director of maintenance, we meet with Todd and Diane, and we present what we believe to be those priorities. There is a discussion, and that agenda is then set, and we move forward. We have talked about some tweaks to that process. We might get into that some tonight. But generally, the process is designed not only to deal with the immediate needs, but also to look out, like I said, on the horizon, so that we have a bit of a roadmap moving forward. So in other words, we may get a request, or we may have on our list internally things that need to be addressed that we won't necessarily deal with this fiscal year. But it remains visible on our list. It remains in investigation, and we may address that in a future fiscal year. Again, I would reference the Creekview chiller example. We actually got our first estimate on that in 2020. There are a host of reasons why we didn't go forward with it at that time, but there are, we had tagged about this time as the probable or likely time that we would need to move forward with replacement. Now, the world has changed a little bit since 2020, so it's gotten significantly more complicated, but it's just an example of one that we tagged, we kept an eye on, and then targeted a completion time to do that. So we review these items now, things that don't necessarily make the list or the agenda for this fiscal year, don't necessarily fall off, but we try to take those items that may not be on the agenda and keep them in still a bit of a rank order as we move forward. There are some of the items that come from building requests, a lot of times come down to, you know, the size and scope of the project. If somebody wants to say, a few years ago we did a classroom renovation, the time was ripe for that, they needed classroom space, it made a lot of sense to do it. We tried to tackle that as it was requested in that fiscal year. It was not a complicated project. In today's world, we might look at that with the a little bit more difficulty in getting labor and materials to get work like that done, and we may investigate that now and move forward with it in a future year. So a lot of things that may seem like good projects today, just because of the changing situations from years past, may not be things that we can get to right now, but it doesn't mean that they don't have any value or necessity, but it's just the general nature of construction work at this point, where it just takes longer to source these things out, and not to mention getting people to have an interest in some of these projects also takes a little bit of wooing sometimes, to be honest. I think I covered most of that on the slide, so I'll move on. So we'll get into some of the actual projects now. So all the items on this slide are complete. Paving and concrete, paving, a lot of people don't realize this, but there's a lot of preventative maintenance that goes into paving. We try to keep up with it so that we avoid some of the larger issues in the future. So seal coating and items like that actually try to extend the life of the surface that we put down. As you would have come in here tonight or over the last few months, you've noticed that we did also do a bit of work to move the entrances to the two parking lots onto this facility. I think was tremendously helpful. And then with just the concrete work, if you drive around kind of by the tennis courts behind MHS, we added a long sidewalk there. It looks like looks kind of odd that it's there, but there is a purpose for it. Food service unloads and loads from that back dock, and a lot of times they don't have a truck, like a lift gate for their visitors, but also they take meals out, say, to Tri-Academy. And that sidewalk enables them to just roll those things out to a van as opposed to dealing with the steps that are there and things like that. So I think it's been really helpful to them. The bike rack at Northwood, given that I'm there every day, I have noticed the success of that bike rack. I know someone who parks his bike there. And then the tri-sidewalk here, we've changed their entrance and just to give them a solid surface pathway into their new door here. Roofing. This is an interesting one. It just so happens that we had a section of roof at the high school that was tagged to be replaced. A windstorm decided to replace it for us. It was the exact location that we were going to replace, and it was the only part of the entire facility that got ripped off by the wind. So we'll take it. And then this was not the first phase of this, but we also added some vertical panels to the Bunsold exterior structure. It's a stucco surface underneath it, and there's a lot of water intrusion. The the panels that were put on that, the metal panels that were put on that, they prevent water from intruding and getting into the inner structure. So if you would have walked under the, into the gymnasium at Bunsold and some of the doorways, there's a lot of water spots. That water is actually getting all the way down from the roof, dropping from the doorway and into whatever they could put under it to catch those drips. So this, this system that was put in to basically remedy that. And if you drive along Bunsold, I mean, you might not even notice it because it's essentially the same color as the stucco that had been there in the past. So, but it's pretty simple to see just kind of above the gym and band area there. Flooring. There's flooring that just sort of occurs everywhere across the district. Obviously, we have a very high foot traffic business, so what we've tried to do over the years is migrate to more resilient surfaces. We did replace the flooring in the Impact Stadium press box with a kind of a more hard rubber surface you might find in like a weight room or a gym area. We didn't actually replace it, we just laid it over top. It's much more, it will take the damage that's put onto that floor much better over the years. It's not too, doesn't react too much to weather and the foot traffic and the chairs and things like that that are in there. It looks nice in there. And then lots of miscellaneous repairs and annual floor refinishing that we do every year. Mechanicals and building systems, this typically constitutes the largest bulk of the financial budget. Some of these items that we do self-perform, so we have a very competent maintenance staff, particularly when it comes to things like HVAC. So for example, if, I want to say a year or two ago, anticipating a need for a boiler, a heater at ECHS, we purchased that. Our staff installed it. They are very active with our HVAC systems, both in monitoring and in performing maintenance. But a lot of that, obviously, we have to, the bigger projects, we do have to contract out. We are in the process of looking at replacing the Marysville High School fire alarm system. That is a long process and still ongoing. Obviously, the things that say complete, they were completed in this fiscal year. And just a note on that, as we go through these projects, we ask for, like I said, we start the call about this time, but really the budget carries on through. We're having this conversation in November, but we really have to carry this through all the way to the end of the school, end of the fiscal year in June. So there are things on this that typical sort of maintenance response, you know, the mechanical system goes down, we have to deal with that. There is money that also is inside the permanent improvement budget to deal with those things. So we have to, you have to assume some degree of needing to do repairs and a little sometimes resuscitation on some of these systems to get us through to the next year. So we put in a new gate at Edgewood. If you haven't seen that, it's pretty slick, nice sliding gate. Obviously provides some guidance for kids going back and forth, but also very sturdy, really a better option than what we had originally decided there, and it lots of security for the kids there. Playground mulch, you don't think much about this, but we have a lot of playground square footage that we have to put mulch down in, and it's got to be pretty thick. So if you ever drive, I think we put it at Navin, it looks like we've just sprouted mountains in the back of the building there, but we store it there when we get it on delivery, and then we take it out, and our guys spread that throughout the district. So we have like I said, our guys do a lot of monitoring on our systems too, so something like this blending valve is very important to the process that happens with the cooling system there. So ECHS, south exterior wall reinforcement, this is an interesting one, just of note. We do periodically just do a health check on exterior walls throughout the district, and every now and then, a crack will emerge or something like that, that we bring a structural engineer in to give us an assessment as to how bad it is, if it's bad at all, and what remedies might be done for that. So we are going to have to do some work there. We're still in the investigation phase of that. It does not appear to be critical or anything like that, but it does seem to be something we need to address. Obviously, we don't want to let those things get critical. We don't want buildings falling down. That's one of those things where it's always sort of on the agenda as an item of concern, just exterior walls and structural integrity of our buildings. And then moving on to equipment, floor scrubbers. We did purchase a floor scrubber for Bunsold in this building. I'm sure you saw the dust walking in. Hopefully after this week, we'll be done with that and Jonathan can start scrubbing the floors. It's currently stored in his office space. That's why I laugh at that a little bit. Athletics, tennis court, repair and resurfacing. If you recall, it's probably about 7 or 8 years ago, we did a total redo on the tennis courts. They're fantastic. But in order to extend the life of that, we have to do routine maintenance on it. We didn't want to leave it to just the typical patching that you might see on tennis courts. So we do have the manufacturer, well, not the manufacturer, the paving company come in and do a full assessment and maintenance refresh on that surface. The press box that we refreshed really had been beat up pretty bad, so the stairs were just really not safe, so we went ahead and replaced those stairs and that roof. We have a few dugouts across the district that we need to get into. JV softball is sort of phase one of that. We're gonna deal with that at a couple other locations as well. Miscellaneous, we had a playground structure at Raymond that we determined to be unsafe. We had that structure removed. Unfortunately, that install was supposed to happen on Tuesday. But it has been delayed until December. Not by anything, not by our request. Transportation, we also have transportation in the permanent improvement forecast. So to purchase a school bus, if you wanted to buy one right now, it would probably show up 2 years from now. So we bypassed a new bus purchase this year in favor of going and upgrading our software system, our software platform, which is given everything that's happened, it's a good thing we did. And that will be a benefit far into the future. But we had also purchased a few vans and just, I don't know, this was what, a week ago, I think, Todd, that we got notice from Ford, I believe, manufacturer, that they basically just given up on making the chassis at this point. So we got notice that the vans that we had ordered will not be filled. The orders will not be filled. So it really is. I mean, that order was put in probably in around May of 2022. May of 2022. Buses are around 18 to 24 months. It's just very hard to source those things at this point. So we'll see what we do this year. But obviously the software upgrade was needed. Probably money well spent at this point, considering if we were to purchase buses, we'd be in the same situation. We'd just be rolling over and waiting for these to arrive, just like we did with our 2022 order. So And finally, we've got a permanent improvement budget summary. So we have, there's sort of two ways to look at this. We have a forecast that was created several years ago that allocates a certain amount of dollars every year for our permanent improvement. So within that, we also go out and, as I mentioned before, get estimates. We try to put together a budget within that fiscal year that isn't simply reliant on whatever number was prescribed when the PI forecast was put together. So in other words, the way we proceed every year is based on need. The money is there for us to use. We're very appreciative of it. It helps us keep up on preventative maintenance and upgrade our buildings and things. But we do not go at that blindly. Some of the things I've talked about, you know, just sort of health checks throughout the district. We sort of update our radar, so to speak. But in that fiscal year, once we put that agenda together, usually going into it, we have an idea. We've already done some sort of investigation as to the cost, but we'll put together a budget within that fiscal year that is based on, it's framed by the dollars in the PI forecast, but it's based on the actual need. So that is the last slide I've got. I think that covers it pretty much. So questions?
One thing I wanted to add real quick, talking about the vans. So Todd Amos is looking for potential replacements. So I told there's a chance that if you find some that we might throw that on the special meeting, the November 28th special meeting agenda. No guarantee that he's even going to find them, but we've been in talks with Meta, that purchasing consortium. So just a heads up, if he does find some, that might be coming to you soon.
Okay, great. Thank you. Questions?
Yeah, I just one point, and I don't know whether Ryan, this is something you can answer, maybe Todd, but the PI fund is supported by two specific levies that are were voted on by the community specifically for permanent improvements, and the money that's generated from those two levies is not available for operating expenses or for any other use other than just the permanent improvements that we make. Is that, is my understanding correct?
Correct, and it's worded on the levy ballot. That way it kind of lists kind of the parameters on the usage of those funds.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, as far out as those buses are, if we shouldn't be looking at ordering those currently, thinking, you know, 2-3 years down the road, not in place of the vans, but in addition to.
Yeah, and unfortunately, with one of the vendors, you just stopped taking orders. But yes, we will be on the next round of. You will see that the agenda later on in the spring. Yep.
You'd mentioned some of the challenges and the changing conditions in the market. Are you specifically referring to lead time issues with equipment, trouble with manpower and labor, and material issues?
Yes. So I'll refer back to the Creekview Tiller situation, it just exemplifies this pretty well. So what we asked for was a 36-week timeline for delivery of equipment only. So that's a long time. We had three bids that came back on that, and only one of them would commit to the 36 weeks. The others were essentially indefinite. So that's clearly an issue. When we look at stairs, like the stairs to the press box, it took several months to get somebody to to take that project. We're in kind of a weird spot where, you know, I'm not in the mind of a contractor necessarily, I could speculate, but I think they're very busy, and to take some of the smaller projects is, it is not necessarily something they want to do, and unfortunately, that creates a premium on the smaller projects. So we get, in essence, some cost escalation or just inflation just by sheer size of the project. As far as, I would say that is, I guess, part of the labor issue as well, but really, it is a combination of material delays and, you know, what I just mentioned about the availability of contractors. It has not been uncommon for us, and if you talk to the architects and engineers that we work with when we put items out to bid, you know, we're just not seeing the responses that we did a few years ago. In a lot of cases, we'll get one. So.
Do we have partners that we generally use for architects and engineers, or do we operate from basically a call list that all school systems use?
It's a little bit of both. So if we're working on a larger project like this building, we would put out an RFP for that one because the cost of the work would be significant and it would exceed our threshold. But for some projects, well, most of the stuff we do through the PI is not that high dollar amount. So with asphalt, for example, we've used the same architect most of the time. Sometimes there's some collaboration that might work with another. Our mechanical engineers, honestly, there's a handful that we work with, but some just know our stuff very well. The person that we work with on with Roger Fields and Associates on this chiller project, for example, he lives close by. He's worked on our he knows our systems very well. That's an advantage to us because they have worked with the same systems sort of year after year after year, and they know kind of what condition that we're in. Plus, he was the one who looked at it in 2020. So he knew what the situation was there. Just kind of makes sense to work with somebody like that who is very familiar with the situation. But there are instances where we will put out an RFP.
And my last question, how many manpower do you have in this area of operations?
So we have currently seven maintenance staff. So we're one less than what we had carried before the levy. One of those is a grounds position. And they're busy.
Thank you, Ryan, for the presentation tonight.
Sure.
I know, just big picture here, the permanent improvement forecast was, I guess, was it initiated in 2015, looking at a 20-year span? Since we have different variables, such as inflation, when do you think will be a good time to reset, or should we reset and recapture the next 20 years? Because this takes us from 2015 to 2035, and is this a good time to maybe reset in the next couple of years? Should that be a goal of ours?
I mean, I think it's a good question. We've talked about that some over the last year. I don't know if we've landed really on a decision with that. There is an inflation measure that's captured within that. Todd can speak to it better than I can, but it's definitely a conversation that we should be having. I will say too, there, you know, there's two different ways to look at that. There's the permanent improvement fund that was established, as you said, in 2015. And then there could be something outside of that would be asset management, which we've looked at having that done for us. It is a complicated and expensive process. So it's probably not the route we want to go right now. All that would do is really get into the very intimate details of each one of our systems in our building, and valuable as it might be, I just don't think we're there right now. So a reevaluation of the forecast as it was set, I think it's probably worth discussing. I couldn't give you, like, we should reset that next year. I don't know. I think we'd really have to dig into it, maybe with the consultant who did it. But I don't disagree. I think it's probably worth talking about.
Just my only last question, thank you for that, is I know part of our strategic plan is creating a facilities committee, and I know we're kind of somewhat maybe on pause because of the levy. We want to focus on that first, but what would that relationship look like with you and your team and the facilities committee, and do we have an updated timeline for when we may go forward with creating that? That might be for you, or that could be for anyone else here.
Sure. So we've actually, I guess, tried to begin this process. Part of that's going to be engaging with a consultant. So I would say we're kind of on pause right now as we wait to hear back from that consultant and again, getting proposals. So we're on our way to starting that, but I don't think we're going to see any real, major movement until, maybe the spring.
I would say, just as a part of your question, what does that mean for our staff? Well, just as an example, when just for this building, there's a lot of work that is done internally when any sort of building assessment goes on that our staff has to be involved in. So it would be a significant part of what their sort of scope of work would be for our staff to participate in that. So I would presume so. It would definitely be, we would be involved in that. At least everything I've ever been in a part of, there's definitely a role for staff, for on-site staff to play. So.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Great, thanks. But Ryan, I know you got a lot of last minute questions here. We were at Capital Conference and had a variety of things, but I really appreciate the additional information, the things that you've added to the presentation, and just kind of filling in some of those gaps. You and your team do an amazing job. I know when we had our building visits, several comments were made about how great the buildings look. You know, they're so clean, and so I just hope you'll let your staff know that they're appreciated and other people noticed as well. So thank you very much.
I appreciate that, and our maintenance director, Jeff Warko, I mean, probably nobody knows more about these buildings than he does, and he is, mm-hmm. He is invaluable, but it would be worth stating that a lot of the items, the smaller items and work order items that aren't necessarily permit improvement items, the custodial staff deal with a lot of those as well. As work orders come in, they do quite a bit. Ceiling tiles, door hardware, things like that. So the team that goes in just to keeping the buildings up to date and safe and things like that, it really is beyond just that maintenance staff. The custodians do quite a bit of work with that as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. If there are no more questions.
Well, your comment just triggered a thought. And you mentioned on the paving that the work that was done this year was primarily preventative in terms of that.
Yeah, probably with the exception of Bunsell, but yeah.
Okay. And It's my understanding that we're taking the dollars that the voters have put into the buildings, and the maintenance of those buildings supported by the PAI fund prevents things from crumbling, a loss of value in terms of the buildings and the structures, the efficiency of the buildings and so forth. And I really want to thank you, the maintenance staff, the custodial staff, as a teacher in this district for a number of years. It was always nice to come in and have a clean room and, to know that the rest of the building, if somebody had written something on the wall, it had been cleaned up overnight. The floors were all ready to go. Everything was as it should be for the start of a good day. And I know the maintenance people, seeing them work They really are protecting the value that the community has put into the building and into the facilities. And I just am so appreciative of everything that they do. So thank you very much for the presentation tonight.
Sue, can I chime in?
Sure.
One quick thing,
please
too.
Do, yes.
Ryan did mention that we're down a man in maintenance, and I know Ryan's not one to toot his own horn, but so I'll toot it for him. He's been putting on a lot of work, you know, as the business manager, doing, you know, kind of the nitty-gritty, so, you know, these sound panels that are up here, you know, he's the one who reupholstered those. So if you have a couch that needs reupholstered, just give him a call.
Just don't look too closely.
You know, for example, the cubicles in the fiscal office. He was, you know, had to drill and screwdriver out this week, putting those together. You know, the chairs that are set up, you know, that was Ryan. So, you know, we've got people stepping up to make up for our lack of manpower.
Well, between that and Jonathan getting ready to clean our floors,
right,
we're all set, aren't we? Thank you, really.
Well,
thank you very
you.
Much.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate it. I know everybody's going above and beyond, but this is wonderful. And yes, those are nice. It sounds better in here.
I hope so.
So it does, yeah. Yep. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, moving on to our reports. Mr. Cox emailed me last night. They had a High Point meeting, and he said it was a very short meeting. Things are going really well, but there really wasn't anything, any major updates that he felt he needed to share with our board tonight. He does anticipate in December having some updates to share with us. So just wanted me to let you know that. So we'll move on to superintendent's report.
Right. So as you know, this week we started a new transportation schedule. I would say every day that schedule has improved. It kind of reminds you of the first week of school all over. We are recognizing more on-time routes across the district. I will also recognize the fact that the roundabout opening definitely has helped with some flow and backup as well. Right now, we have three people working with individual bus drivers to fine-tune routes and then make sure we're going to do another run through Power School to get everything updated again. There really won't be any changes, just make sure everything's accurate. But things are definitely headed in a better direction. That extra time has really been significant. I was at Northwood. Edgewood was typically having their last bus come between 4:45 and 5 o'clock. The other day, every bus was out by 4:16. So it's really made a difference making that expanded time. So we continue to appreciate everyone's patience with us while we fine-tune and work out those kinks, but certainly feel good about the direction that we're headed. As you all know, we had a transportation meeting earlier this month. We had six parents attend that meeting. We discussed openly challenges and potential solutions, and I think kind of opened some eyes to things that people had not heard or read through different communications, so that was good. Our enrollment right now in November, PK-12, is 5641, so we're up 146 students from November of last year. construction update, Edgewood, we're happy to say, Ryan informed me today that all things are complete at Edgewood from a construction standpoint, so the finishing touches went in. In this building tomorrow, we will be doing life safety tests and then have punch list items to complete. think about 12:30, Todd's office is preparing to move into their cubicles, and so lots of action to kind of wrap things up. So as long as we pass life safety tomorrow, we should be in good shape in this building. Staffing update. Let me run through. I wanted to kind of separate the driver situation out of transportation. I put it in staffing for you. So we are now at 31 drivers on staff. You have a resignation on the agenda tonight. So that 31 is inclusive of the resignation. 4.5 drivers are still out on a leave, so that makes 26.5 active drivers. The other half, we hope we'll be back in January. That sounds kind of funny, but it's only a part-time person right now, so we hope that comes full-time in January. Another driver will come on board, we believe, sometime mid to late January, and then that would remain three with I guess there's not a defined a return date yet. So we have also three posted positions to get to our goal of 34. Remember, that's kind of what we talked about. Now, I've said the whole time we're going to overhire that department because we've had a lot of ebb and flow, so we want to overhire. We do have 5 drivers in training, so we're pretty excited about that. That is not a tomorrow process, so just, you know, continue to keep that in mind. 2 of the 5 are on as sub bus aides and van drivers while they're doing their training, so we really have some things, I feel like, moving in the right direction. We plan to do another Come Try It event in the spring as well, so we'll get that data out and get that out. We also have a group of elementary students at Mill Valley who have expressed an interest in helping with the transportation challenges. So I'm going to meet with them and talk with them about ways that they can help us. So maybe do some videos or something like that. So stay tuned on that. I was pretty excited about that. We also have a high school custodian opening. We still have 4 of the elementary transportation student aides. It may be 3 after today. I think we're making an offer to someone, a high school special ed aide, and a tech support position. And the last thing, I have 2 things. FFA, we did invite FFA to come tonight to recognize them, and again in December, and in their competitions, I think every time we've tried to meet with them. So they were already scheduled to be here in February, and so we'll celebrate their accomplishments then. But if you were not aware, they were awarded a national top 10 chapter award. I had the privilege of attending the conference and seeing them go across the stage for their 3-star award. So certainly continuing a legacy of excellence and achievement with our FFA kids. If you've never been to the national conference, it is a great experience. I know where you might get a quick trip over there. So it's pretty special to attend. The last thing I have not even informed you of yet, we'd like to congratulate our early college high school staff and students. Yesterday, there was a meeting in which their STEM designation was accepted. So they have been designated, I guess, or approved as a STEM school. Jen will be here in March to kind of talk about that process and the things that had to happen. It was kind of a significant rubric, and they have also asked for our early college STEM school to be a pilot site, and Jen to train new principals and staffs who are trying to do a startup school. So I'm certainly pretty excited about that partnership with Battelle. And that's all I have.
Lots of good stuff. Anybody have any questions, comments? Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Treasurer's report, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, I don't have a whole lot to report today. The first thing I wanted to mention was there was an article in the JT that there was a little bit of misunderstanding based off of that. It was in discussion of the residential TIF and some numbers that came out of that. So I think when some people read the article, they thought that it said within the last 5 years, the school has grown by over 1,000 students because of the residential TIFs. So that's partially true. It's just not in that time frame. So as of right now, we have about 1,500 students coming out of residential TIF areas, but that's over, you know, since the inception of those residential TIFs, not just in like the last five-year time period. So just wanted to clear that up based on some questions we had gotten. And then the five-year forecast is on the agenda tonight for approval. I just wanted to note that for November 28th, we'll be having levy discussions, at which time we'll talk about millage scenarios and levy scenarios and those kinds of things that will obviously have an impact on the future of the forecast. So that's all I had, unless there's any questions.
I just want to clarify again in that article, because it had said that the TIF areas brought in 1,000 new students, and that is not the case. It did, I mean, like they were, like our overall enrollment didn't grow by 1,000. I guess well, it kind of depends on how you look at it.
It depends how you look
right?
at it. If you
okay,
look at
yeah,
it as
yeah.
it was a cornfield, then
right.
because of the residential TIF, then houses were built.
Right.
So, I mean,
right.
yes, it did grow by 1,500 students
right.
in that residential TIF area.
Right. Okay. Okay.
But just not
yeah,
recently.
If you look at our, right. If you look at our enrollment in 2012 versus now, you know,
right.
that's, yeah. Okay. So just kind of the semantics in there.
Yeah, and it definitely yes. was not in the past 5 years. I don't
right,
think
yes.
that's been our discussion.
Right, right, yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. All right. Any questions for Todd? Nope. Okay, then let's see. For my report, first, I want to start by congratulating Jermaine, Matt Keller, for the election results. The onboarding process is going to be ramping up. We look forward to welcoming Matt to the team. We're excited to have Jermaine remain on the team. And I also want to thank Colin Smithy for his efforts. Hope that he's interested in finding ways to support and learn more about the district. We had a community coffee this last Sunday afternoon. I know, Mr. Smith, you sent out a report. Yeah, Mr. Ferguson. Volume. Thank you.
I sent out a report, and that and my legislative report were late this afternoon. I apologize for that. But we did have one person came. They had two areas, trying to get some additional understanding in terms of the budget process and how that all came together. And then questions about transportation and how we were trying to address that and kind of where we were. And I think Jermaine and I were able to provide him with some information on that and on transportation, basically, that we were making progress, that, you know, it was not fixed yet, was not particularly fixable, but that we were making progress and things were continuing to improve, so.
Great. Did you want to add anything? Okay great. I know tonight, later in the agenda, we do have a library board seat recommendation. Just wanted to remind everybody that Nan and I were able to observe the interviews of their applicants and the board member being recommended, Ms. Erin McIntosh, was also able to attend two of our recent building visits. So I thought that was a nice opportunity for her to get to know a little bit more about the district, us to get to know a little bit more about her. And also just wanted to mention how much we appreciate our strong partnership with our library. Grateful for all the ways that you support not only our district, but our community. And speaking of those building visits, they were completed on November 1st and 2nd. This time we did a little bit differently. In the past, we've all tried to attend every building, and you know that resulted in quite a few visits for each of our buildings. So this year we decided to just have two of us attend, cover the buildings in groups of two, whatever. So each building just had one visit, and then a new goal is to try and bring other community members into the buildings along with us. And I think we had a great response. I didn't tally up how many community members overall came through the buildings, but I know the high school visit, I think we had seven or eight community members join us, and just lots of great comments, observations, good conversations. And, you know, I think we all feel really passionately about how impactful it is to have somebody come into the buildings and actually see firsthand what's going on in the classrooms, have a chance to talk to our principals, and maybe consider future partnerships, or just, you know, maybe come in and talk to our students, things like that. So I think those are, I thought it was very successful. I appreciate, I know, Jermaine, you kind of started that whole idea of bringing in those community members, so appreciate you doing that. And wanted to thank all the community members who took the time to join us. Let's see, Capitol Conference was earlier this week. I didn't know if anybody wanted to share a highlight from a breakout session that they attended, you know, like little speed highlights here, if you want to share anything with the board. And additionally, if there's something, I know one of the things we always try and do is if there's a session that we attended that we think might be impactful, something to consider. We do always share those with either Diane or Todd or both of them. So, but anyways, I'll open it up if somebody wants to share something. Anybody, everybody. You're going to do it in your comments? Okay.
I attended a session on addressing misinformation, and was an interesting session. The session leaders were from Northwestern Ohio, a very small community, but social media had gotten very active, and some of the information was not as accurate as it probably should have been. And so it took time, but they were able to put together some strategies to try to address that, and I thought that was really good. Went to a session that was led by the Olentangy Transportation Department along with OSBA, and they talked about their bus driver shortage and what they were doing to try to retain drivers. They had some interesting ideas. One of the things that that they thought was particularly interesting was they had a recruitment video that was done by bus drivers in their district. And so there were lots of things, but in looking at what we've been doing and knowing the efforts that we put forth, it was reassuring to know that while they may have approached it a little bit differently, we were doing essentially everything that they were doing. They had success with their Come Drive a Bus Day, and we had success with our Come By Drive a Bus Day. And after the meeting, when I talked to their transportation director, it was like, yeah, we're both addressing this, we're both making progress on this, and so it was, I thought it was very good, very interesting session.
Thank you. You're going to talk at the end of the meeting, okay? Anybody else want to share anything now? Wait.
So I attended, I'm going to just cover two sessions. Putting community first and planning your future, and it was a extensive presentation on not only planning a facilities plan, but also your strategic plan, and kind of went through a step-by-step process. We have done much of that work there. As far as like long-term facilities plan, that's probably something we're going to be stepping into in the future. So it gave some great helpful hints and tricks maybe to help engage the community, because getting community engagement and feedback in a positive manner sometimes can be a little tricky. So I thought that was very worthwhile. Also, effective questioning techniques. Talks about how effective boards work and question and gather information. And they talked about how the questioning actually feeds into improved communication within the district. So again, another session where they gave you a lot of actionable items that you can take forward to and help improve boardsmanship and communication within your district.
Great. Jermaine.
Thank you. I did attend the conference on Monday and half day on Tuesday. The session I'd like to highlight is the a day in the life of an English learner. And so I thought that was an important course because, as we know, we've grown, I think, 136 students now that are identified as English learners. So first, you know, we kind of went through the identification, how are those students identified, some of the state steps, stages of language acquisition, and there's an academic content language acquisition, and there's conversational. And so we, you know, it was nice to sit through and hear those stages. The different transitions from culture, just the culture is a big one. You know, a lot of classrooms and, like, you know, maybe in Asian countries are very strict. You don't talk in the classroom. In America, it's very loud and, well, maybe not all classrooms are loud, but loud at times, and you stay on the floor at times. You know, so cafeteria can be very overwhelming for students. Some of the advocacy points that they encourage is for us or district school buildings to celebrate culture, their culture and language, to encourage the use of first language at home. The students need a break, and also if they stop that first language at home, then they will not be able to learn English throughout, like, say, if a third grader stops third grade reading and conversational speaking in their first language, then it will kind of hurt their progression and learning English and acquiring English, and also relaxing their brain so they can actually relax and take a deep breath from the stressful day at school. So that's kind of interesting. Learn about their culture, get resources in their natural language. It was something too, so that, you know, they want students to be able to read in their natural language. Different texts, comparable texts, that way they have something to reference to when you're in the classroom and you're now talking about the text. If you have it in their their first language, then they might actually be able to pick up easier than if you are just speaking completely in English. The first 10 minutes of the class was in Mandarin. And so they brought two board members up and asked them to do a project, but there was only, you know, Mandarin text and Mandarin verbal instructions, and it was very evident that it's going to be very hard for anyone and frustrating for both, all parties, for those students to actually learn. And so, very interesting, and there are some apps that they encourage, like Duolingo for Google Translate is probably the most accurate. Talking Points is a point-to-point translator. When it comes to communication from the district or buildings, they encourage simplified employee education, bullet points rather than long narrative. Make sure the cafeteria staff, bus drivers, professionals have some supports in professional development in these areas. And websites can't be too wordy, over complex, because it hurts to translate, the Google Translate. So those are some interesting points. Some districts are doing the microphones. They give teachers microphones, not so it can be louder. It's not the stereotypical, let's yell because you can't understand me. That's not it. It's for clarity. So a teacher speaking like I am right now on a microphone, it makes the words crisper so that their brains can, that's what was presented, is just the microphone use makes the words crisp and kind of breaks through the noise a little bit, so for clarity, so they can help enunciation. So very interesting class. I did attend other sessions, but that's the highlight I'll give.
I have to laugh. I'm sitting here thinking about Archie Bunker and, like, my name is, you know, like, it just cracks me up. Sorry, yeah. Just had to share that.
Yeah. If I can, sure. There may be people that watch this and think that we show up once a month at this meeting. But this conference in Columbus was 3 days. I think all five of us were able to make at least 2 days. Jermaine and I didn't go down on Sunday because we had the board coffee, and then I talked to him too long. But we also are strategic in that we look to see if we can go to different meetings so that collectively we have a broader learning that takes place in terms of what's going on in other school districts, what's going on in education. And the process of being a good board member, knowing what you're doing, being able to come in here and have some background to be able to help make decisions for our schools is one that you have to be very intentional about in terms of your activity. And so we do, as a board, do a lot of training. This board has gotten recognition as a board of distinction from OSBA. And I think patting ourselves on the back a little bit, we do a pretty good job of staying engaged and doing the right kinds of things for the people and for the students that we have in our school district. So
I would have to say, I think that's kind of throughout the district, kind of that goal of continuous improvement and learning, right? We're lifelong learners.
Yeah, our administrators, our students set a very high standard, and it takes effort in order to meet, on our part, to be able to meet their efforts in academic achievement. So.
Okay. Thank you. My highlights, I really just wanted to highlight the value of the networking there, the new ideas that you pick up, and then, like many of you said, kind of that confirmation that what we're doing here is really, in many areas, a benchmark across the state. So next item, just a quick acknowledgement that we did have some of our informal evaluation conversations with our superintendent. As always, just kind of that great opportunity to discuss progress, challenges, next steps, and any ways that we can support the work that's going on. We do have, I think it has been mentioned, we do have a special meeting work session that is scheduled for November 28th at 4 p.m. here at the board office. The purpose is to discuss levy options. We're also going to be discussing a draft board assignment list for 2024, and hopefully we'll have something on there about a van purchases. And just so anybody who's watching this, just like our regular meetings, the special meetings are open to the public to attend and observe, unless it's an executive session. We don't anticipate having an executive session right now. We don't have public participation at those meetings, but you know, we're there, and I think we've had a lot of good follow-up conversations after the meetings with attendees. So you know, we'd love to, as we all continue to say, we do want to hear from our community. And that's my report, long report. Next report, Ms. Savage, student achievement.
Okay, student achievement newsletter was sent out to everyone today to take a look at. I haven't really covered it very much last few months just because the articles I didn't think had strong interest for our district, but this month actually does, so I encourage you to pull it up and take a look at it. It has an article regarding helping students unplug from technology, and it gives a kind of a summary of what technology is kind of doing to our youth. And it reminded me of something that I heard down at the Capitol Conference, and the quote, and I hope I get this correct, it's, on a scale of between candy and crack, technology is more like crack. And that many parents from the high-tech industry either completely forbid or limit in extreme numbers technology from their kids. So it's something that we should kind of be aware of as the culture shifts again, probably back the other way on this pendulum. Also, exploring or explaining is a skill, how to communicate with clarity and confidence. So it's talking about how high school students are entering the workforce, but there is a deficit in typical skills of communication. probably due to technology. And so there's an article to read related to that. And the third one was talking about wellness and the link between outdoor exercise, in this case biking, and mental health, in extreme improvements in mental health and attitude. It also goes on to explain that other pillars that help improve mental health are limiting the screen time and also getting 8.5 hours of sleep. So something for ourselves and also our parents in the audience to think about. Thank you.
Thank you, Nan. Next, we have our legislative report. Mr. Smith.
In the legislative report, I gave a summary of a conversation meeting that I had with Representative Richardson, November the 3rd, and the topics we kind of covered there. I gave some information on the Department of Education and Workforce, which was created by the state budget. The governor, there was a legal challenge, and the legal challenge to the shift of power was not successful. And so the Department of Education and Workforce will go forward and provide a little bit of background and some information on that. There is a piece of legislation, HB 187, that deals with property tax. There are a number of other bills that have been brought up on that. Because I think this is me, I think because there were so many different bills that were attacking this, and because of the reappraisals that were being done across the state, a committee has been formed within the legislature with five people on from each of the House and the Senate. And our representative, Tracy Richardson, I believe that she, if I remember correctly, she is one of the House members on that committee. So the two houses will use this committee to try to look at and discuss issues dealing with property taxes and how to address that. I had previously had a phone call with her about the 20 mil floor, which to this point I don't think is part of it, is specifically part of any piece of legislation, but I know Todd has been taking track of that, and maintaining a 20 mil floor would be very beneficial to our district from a financial standpoint. So anyone out there, if you hear something on that, please let your legislators know. Marysville is in a position to take advantage of that. At the conference we went to, I think Jermaine attended the legislative session. I attended it. And I've kind of summarized a list of major pieces of legislation that OSBA believed might receive some action. One dealt with 180-day expulsions and would allow the superintendent to take action to extend beyond 180 days under certain circumstances. There's House Bill 214 that deals with it requires boards to have a policy that deals with expression of ideologies and philosophies and political positions. A Senate Bill 162 requiring intervention for low-performing students. We do that within our district, but there is concern that not every school district is providing the necessary interventions for students on the state tests that are not meeting expectations. Senate Bill 168 is a general bill that they're it's kind of a Christmas tree of changes to various regulations and policies that would be eliminated or removed or modified to provide more authority, more flexibility to local school boards and administrators. Now, having said that, we then had the Senator Brenner, who is the chair of the Education Department, get up, and he said that Senate Bill 29 that deals with protection of data, computer data, he was thinking that that would probably pass through the Senate. And then Senate Bills 168 and 162, which I mentioned previously, one of which he is the sponsor of, the intervention bill, he thought that both of them would probably move through the Senate. And then Representative Adam Byrd spoke. He is the chair of the House Education Committee. And in my notes, I missed the House bill number, but he talked about three. And the first one was to had to do with teachers that retire rather than be disciplined or face some sort of discipline, disciplinary action, and then later want to re-enter teaching again. And that bill, whatever number it is, would address that. There is also Bill 410 that deals with attendance and some changes in attendance as it refers to the state report card. More specifically, students with special needs can stay in our district till age 22, but if they don't graduate with their class or the, I think the next year, then the report shows that they didn't graduate from our school district, and so they're trying to address that particular session. And then House Bill 206, that I previously mentioned, was the third one he had. I provided the legislative analysis for House Bill 187 so that you can go through and look at that if you have an interest in reading. It's four or five pages, but it covers and touches on a lot of things dealing with property tax. We'll see what the legislature comes up with. So that's my report.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Mr. Ferguson, Safety and Drug Committee report.
Yes. So I serve as liaison to the Union County Drug Free Coalition. As we all may know, Issue 2 to regulate marijuana, like alcohol, it was a statute that was approved by the people of Ohio. And so the mission doesn't change. We still have to keep kids safe and encourage them to live healthy lifestyles. We envision, we have not met yet, but we envision that the state legislature will take a look at, I think even Governor DeWine had mentioned, we need to take a look at maybe modifying that statute to make sure you can't use marijuana any and everywhere, protecting access, helping with make sure access for kids, not for kids, but making sure kids do not have easily access is something of importance as well. So we look forward to maybe looking to some of that work. I know the Drug Free Coalition is also doing a strategic planning process. So in the next couple of months, we'll probably have more in-depth reports, but that's just my update for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's see. I would now accept a motion to approve draft minutes from our October 19th, 2023 regular meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any corrections, comments? Nope. Roll call, please.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Fine?
Yes. Motion carries. Now on to our 7 different Board of Education items. So first up, we have the resolution to approve the 5-year forecast. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Todd, I mean, there's no, go ahead, I'll let you make some comments, but.
Yeah, no changes. I mean, I think we've said in the past, sometimes, you know, you approve the forecast and it's already wrong the next day. But I don't have any, you know, I didn't experience anything this month that would make me think there's anything that needs to change. So no updates.
All right. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Just that I know Todd has presented this to his finance committee, and they felt that it was solid. We've heard presentations from Todd, so there's been a number of eyes that have looked at it as we get ready to vote.
And just one more thing. The five-year forecast actually gets posted on the website under the Treasurer's tab, correct?
Yes, and it's also on the Ohio Department of Education website.
Okay. So it is available for the public. There was some discussion about that.
And I'm sure Todd always welcomes any phone calls with questions about that 5-year forecast.
Yep, it's my favorite topic.
Okay. Okay, well, go ahead.
Yeah, I just encourage, it's a 28-page document, and I think it's important. We can look at the first sheet and keep focus on the first sheet, but if you really read through the pages, it's going to share some additional insight. So I still have some questions, but we're going to talk offline. And we're going to be talking about the 5-year forecast probably for next year, I imagine, right? So, but please read the actual details in the notes, because it's going to answer some of those questions that anyone might have just looking at the top sheet.
Right, that's a really good point. So it kind of gives those, you know, what some of the assumptions are behind some of those numbers, so, and some of the history as well. So good point, thank you for pointing that out. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes, motion carries. Now we have a resolution from our Marysville Public Library requesting us to submit a levy for a replacement of an existing tax for current expenses of the Marysville Public Library. So there is a resolution. Anybody watching this or going to our board docs has access to the resolution as well. I would accept a motion to approve that resolution.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. I know tonight we also have the library director, executive director, Ms. Knowles, and she is here in case, maybe if you just want to give a brief overview of what this resolution says. Thank you.
Certainly. It's thank you for having me here. I'm a little bit, I have to admit, I'm not quite in levy mode yet, but to prove my point, I left my talking points on my desk. So I was frantically trying to remember them back there. This means either I will be really succinct or I may ramble. Let's see what happens. The board of the Marysville Public Library is asking the school board to place our levy on the ballot. Our current levy runs through 2024. We are asking to do a replacement levy at the same millage, which is 1.5 mils. Our local levy comprises over 50% of our revenue. The PLF, the Public Library Fund, from the state, generates most of the other 50%. The rest of our revenue is through donations, fees, interest, and grants. Our fiscal officer did run projections. We were looking at renewals and replacement, or a renewal or a replacement, and we looked at renewal plus, we looked at replacement plus, we looked at a variety of things, as I'm sure you guys do as well. And a straight renewal is not going to generate enough funds. So we are looking to do a replacement at the same millage, and that will allow us to continue to provide the services to the community. Any specific questions?
There may be some people that are wondering why the library is asking the school board to put this on the ballot.
I actually do get that question periodically. I also get that question about our board members. And as you guys know, but the general public may not, the school board serves as our taxing authority. The library, the public library here in Marysville, is a school district public library, which means you are our taxing authority, and our, right now, our borders are the same as your borders, and that's the short, sweet answer.
Yeah, and the funds from this do not come to the school district, but go
correct
to the library, and you and your trustees and so forth.
Correct. We are two entirely separate entities. We do not receive money from the schools. You do not receive money from us, from our tax levy. So, yes, two entirely separate funds.
Thank you very much.
Certainly.
I just want to thank you for everything you do for our community. Just to also note that you have two locations, is that correct?
We do. We have a location in Uptown Marysville and a location in Raymond.
So, and also that's serving the whole, the district-wide area. So I just want to thank you for some of the previous events that you've done with the students, the lunch program, the summer.
We hope to get back to that.
Yes.
I will be in touch with Diane later this year.
I know my kids start off at story time, story hour during the summer, and so helping with that's helping us make sure our kids are have an early literacy initiative. So there's a lot of work that the library does in programming that helps and supports our students, and I'm sure our staff.
Well, and just so you know, winter reading program starts December 1st. But yeah, summer reading program, we've already started meetings.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here to just kind of give us a little bit of the background on there and just that idea of the, you know, replacement, keeping it at that same millage.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So people are already paying tax to the library. It will be slightly higher if it passes.
It will reset, yes.
It will reset the, you know, actual millage versus effective millage. But yeah, I think that's, I appreciate you being here to share that information and answer questions.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
And I'm here for the duration if anyone wants to catch me after.
Okay, great.
One last question.
Sure.
Library board meetings are popular or like ours, or which meeting's better?
They're both wonderful. They're okay. Very informative. The library board meets on the third Wednesday of the month, typically. They did meet on Tuesday this week. They had scheduled that a couple months earlier because one of the board members had another engagement.
And that's at the Marysville Library?
Typically in our large meeting room. If it is not, we always post it on the board page of our website.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes, motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the resolution for the chiller replacement at Creekview Intermediate School.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Any questions, comments? This was pretty well explained in Ryan's report. Okay, then roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the MEA, the Marysville Education Association, extension agreement through June of 2025.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Want to share anything, Diane?
This would just allow us, with the changes that are outlined, to extend our current agreement with the teachers union till the end of the 2025 school year. So all of the things in place in the MOU would not start until the beginning of 2024 school year.
Yeah, I'd like to just comment that the relationship between the Teachers Association, Teachers Union, and this board has been very positive for a long time. And I think the fact that I think this extension shows the level of trust, the level of confidence that exists between the board, our administrators, and the Teachers Association.
One of the things that was discussed down at the Capitol Conference is the exodus of a lot of people from the teaching profession. And we are very fortunate to have a highly skilled staff. And it's important that we maintain that staff moving into the future. Without that staff, we wouldn't be able to, for our children to receive the education that they're going to be able to receive.
So just understanding that the current contract before the extension would expire in the spring of 24, and we have to kind of extend it, because what would happen if we did not approve an extension past that time? Because I know there's an upcoming levy, but why is it important for us to make sure we do this extension now?
Well, we could certainly renegotiate the entire contract in the spring. You know, meeting with the leadership of the union, I think all in all, things are in a pretty good space. And the idea was, let's bring continuity and commitment to the staff for the next year. So that, you know, Nam brings up a great point. Teacher retention is a significant problem in the state of Ohio, specifically Central Ohio. So really it's making some commitments on behalf of the school district to teachers as well. And we want teachers to have a contract when we turn. We certainly wouldn't want to come together in the spring and say, oh, we can't reach an agreement, and have them work without a contract to that point. So this they came forward. We started talks quite a while ago, as you know, and we were able to really make some nice extensions that made a lot of sense for things for teachers in the district.
Thank you for providing that, and for everyone's work in making this possible tonight. Thank you.
Yep, and I like Dick said, I mean, it really does speak to the relationships, the trust that's there, and you know, we want our staff to know how much we appreciate them, value everything that they do every day. So, okay, I think we're ready for a roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the 2024-2025 salary increases.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. And we are pointing out, yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
So these salary increases would actually encompass all other groups except for our transportation department, transportation union does not have leadership at this time, and so once that's reestablished, we'll be having conversations with them as well. Just right now that is not there. So
any questions or comments?
Well, I looking at the percentage, I think it's a compromise. You know, I don't think it's overly grand, and you see auto workers getting 20% and pilots getting 25%, and you know, I saw an article in the paper, Honda workers getting 11%. So I think if they're willing to continue this for 3%, that's a heck of a good compromise, and shows their dedication to the school system.
I also wanted to comment that we can't do what we do without all of those support people. And as the example with Ryan's presentation, we have had a lot of people step up and are doing double duty in order to keep things covered to support our students.
Just two questions. One, the five-year forecast that we just adopted, did it include these increases?
Yes, it assumed that these increases would be in place.
And two, it's also, just to note, it's a slight increase from the current year to next year. It's not like a dramatic, it's a very slight increase, just so that for anyone's understanding out there, it's not like we're coming out with the 11%. We can't do that right now because
even
of our financial.
Even if we wanted to, right?
Even if we wanted to, but it's a slight just to get through additional year.
It's been like 2 point, yeah, go ahead. Remember what the raises were? Yeah, was it 2.5?
Oh, I'm sorry. I believe this year was 2.5.
I think so, yeah. So it's been like 2.25, maybe 2.5, 2.25, 2.5, so 3 now. And I think given cost of living adjustments, that's incredibly reasonable. So, yeah.
So striking the balance between fiscal responsibility and taking care of our people.
Yes.
So thank you for that.
Yep. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes, motion carries. Next, there's no motions necessary. However, I would, if anybody else has gone to board docs to look at our agenda tonight, we have 36 policies with some revisions in there. Mr. Langhouse and I have had a little conversation back and forth. I had a couple questions on some things. I don't know if you want to, well, I think we're okay, but I encourage people to read through them. And if you have a question about anything, reach out to Jonathan. The majority of these are based on recommendations from Ohio School Boards Association and or legislative changes. Okay, any questions?
No, I attended the meeting, the policy meeting, as they went through, and these are changes from the state budget in most cases, and I think that's why there's so many of them, because the mm-hmm. budget this time covered a lot of different areas, and they've been thoughtfully reviewed and presented to us.
Okay, then let's see. We don't need a roll call or anything. So next up, I would accept a motion to approve the Public Education Appreciation Week proclamation.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. So I will go ahead and read this proclamation. It says, whereas public education is established in the Ohio Constitution, which provides that the state will secure a thorough and efficient system of common schools throughout the state, thus demonstrating the commitment of Ohio citizens to make provisions for students to obtain a public education, and whereas public schools equip young Ohioans with both practical skills and broader intellectual abilities, giving them hope for and access to a productive future, and whereas public schools are community linchpins, bringing together adults and children, educators and volunteers, business leaders and elected officials in a common enterprise, and whereas Ohio Public Education Appreciation Week celebrates public education, honoring individuals who make a difference in ensuring every child receives a quality education and recognizing the importance public education has in our community. Now, therefore, we serving as the Marysville Exempted Village School District Board of Education do hereby proclaim November 13th through 17th, 2023 as the observance of Ohio Public Education Appreciation Week. And we are certainly grateful for our public education. So with that, I would accept a roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Thank you. Next, I would accept a motion to approve all the treasure items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Any questions or any comments you'd like to make, Todd?
Nothing out of the ordinary. The one thing that looks a little funky is the cash flow shows no variances this month. That's just because we've updated everything based on the November five-year forecast. On the appropriations, the biggest thing that pops out there is the literacy grant. So that's, accounting for this allocation for this fiscal year, and this is the final year of that grant.
Okay. Any questions? Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Now I'd accept a motion to approve Anita Rocha as volunteer.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Abstain.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you, Anita. I would now accept a motion to approve our superintendent HR and volunteer items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Nothing to point out there. Yeah.
The only thing I would like to point out is retirement of Jody Springer on that section. She spent 36 years in a variety of capacities in Marysville. So certainly wish her well in her new endeavor and in retirement.
Okay, yep. And I guess maybe just also point out that there are three bus drivers and a mechanic on there, as you spoke about earlier. And just, I know how much time and effort have gone into that whole process and continues to go into that process. So thank you to your team. Any questions or comments from Diane?
That those were included in my numbers, just
yes.
for right. great clarity. That's not 34 now, but that, right. that yes.
Okay, thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes, motion carries. And now I'd accept a motion to approve all other superintendent action items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage.
Do you see a YMCA agreement in that section? We are going to work with the YMCA. Currently, they kind of lost their space and we're looking for space and we're going to help them in the early college gym. The rental time will be about 4 to 8, 4 to 8:30 during the week. So that's worked out well. Amber already coaches for us. It'll be, should be a great situation. Library board member is also in that section and you'll see some interns as well.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, again, I'll just mention again how much we appreciated having a chance to spend a little bit of time with Aaron on the building visits, the library trustee up for approval here. So if there are no other questions, roll call, please.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes, motion carries. Comments and questions from board members? I'll start to my right tonight, Mr. Ferguson. Catch you off guard, right?
Yes, you did. Again, just thank you for everyone's work in preparing this meeting, the agenda, for being here tonight. I also appreciate the opportunity to serve 4 years. It's nice. I'm here because of the appointment, but it's nice actually winning an election and can get that off my back now, I guess, for now. I look forward to working with you all and Matt Keller in the next 4 years. We have a lot of work to do, and I'm approaching this with humility and an eagerness to work, to connect, and try to build trust or build upon the trust that we have with our constituency. So thank you all. I'll keep my comments short.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Savage.
In lieu of our agreement, I want to again express appreciation to our teaching staff and our support staff, every employee of the Marysville School District. We do appreciate you and everything you do every day.
Thank you. Mr. Keck.
I have a longer one tonight. It was a pretty busy month. We had building visits, National FFA Convention, National Business Honor Society, the OSBA. And, you know, with the building visits, they were awesome. Out at Raymond, it was a fantastic demonstration. The Buntshold was very good. The only thing I would say is that was disappointing that I think the community ought to understand. I keep hearing, you know, nothing's changed since the levy went down. And, you know, when you stand in a classroom where they were teaching students to program Raspberry Pi, and if you don't know what that is, look that up. That's sitting empty, you know, the very, I don't know, it hurt. And that was one of my favorite areas. And so we have a group of students that will, you know, enter the workforce without that technology behind them. They may be able to pick it up somewhere else, but, you know, they're not going to pick it up here. And that was certainly giving them an advantage over some other schools that maybe didn't provide that. And anyway, not to be depressing or anything, but the building visits were awesome. Other than that, the National FFA Convention, it was good to see the students go across the stage as top 10. I think the last time they did that was in 2012. And so it's not something that happens very often. And in fact, this is only the second time. The National Business Honor Society was fantastic, and they had a speaker there, and someone's going to ask me the name of the speaker. Curtis.
Thompson.
Thompson. And he did an awesome job on leadership that, you know, any adult and or student could relate to and learn something from. And then the OSBA conference, I only made 2 days, Sunday, and I watched two school treasurers go at it like car talk, and that was very on school finance. And I thought it's a good thing I knew a little bit about school finance, because they didn't teach me a whole lot, but it was a lot of fun to watch them go at it. And then we had another class on AI. It was a packed room, and they demonstrated some of the ways AI could be used to help schools in writing lesson plans and writing courses of study and so forth, and would really reduce the amount of work that a teacher has to do in preparation. Also, though, unfortunately, they talked about the misuses of AI, you know, and how the school treasurers need to be the most cautious in that respect. And they said one school treasurer wrote basically a $2 million draft based on an AI request. And the FBI was able to, you know, get that all back except for $200,000. And that was, you know, I almost fell out of my chair. And that was acceptable, I guess. So AI is going to certainly change things, and walked away from there pretty scared. But then there was 2 days of, I believe it's Chuck Underwood. Did I get the first name right? And he talked about the fact that there's 6 living generations in this country, and how those 6 different generations think, and how they communicate, and how they get along with each other. And basically, you know, you're born into a generation, and how you think and communicate and get along is not your fault, and you're not going to probably change it, and no one else is going to change it for you. And so you better learn to get along with the other generations, because they're not going to change either. And like I said, 2 days of him, I think it was a total of about 2.5 hours in 2 days, and unbelievable presentation. So and I think that's about all I had.
I think that's the most you have spoken in these, like, for the whole year, Bill.
I'll try to keep it short next time.
No, that was great. That was great. I mean, I think it's a testament to the value of Capital Conference. You know, I mean, it's really a top-notch conference. So, yeah. Okay, so Mr. Smith.
Most everything that I had for this has already been addressed. I'm very excited that we've been able to extend a teacher contract and address the salaries and wages of the other people that are employed in the district, and I look forward to our administrators being able to sit down with the bus union at some point in the future and work with them to come up with an equitable solution all the way around. We always talk about team. It always takes all of us. There isn't anyone in our district that is insignificant, and there isn't anyone that I take for granted. Show up every day. We do a great job for kids, and Capital Conference helps to reinforce that, because you sit in a conference and you find out that we're doing the things that people are saying we need to be able to do. Certainly you get new ideas and new perspectives, but our district, as I invite legislators to come and see what we're doing, I tell them we're doing education right in Marysville. We're doing it the way they're talking about how it ought to be. You know, they will come and see examples of how that happens. The Chuck Underwood was incredible, helped me to understand that the different generations have to be messaged differently. And I know in terms of how we struggle trying to get communication with the community, it gave me a very different perspective that we need to look at as a district, how we communicate to people that are in the baby boomer generation or the millennials or the Generation X, because the time period in which they were born, the circumstances, the environment in which they grew up impacts how they communicate, what values are important to them, and your message to be heard, and our district message to be heard, needs to be tailored not only to the community, but also maybe tailored to generations within our community. Mm-hmm. That was Mr. Underwood's message. There's books and all sorts of stuff out there that he's written on this. And we constantly see students achieving excellence, and the FFA is clearly an example of students excelling, and that becomes the standard within our school district. I am grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson?
Nothing to add.
Ms. Allen?
Just have two things. I want to thank all the schools for everything they did for Veterans Day. If you did not have an opportunity to attend, certainly there was a lot of thought and preparation, student opportunity to lead, and kind of voice and choice that went into those activities, and such a sense of pride in our community with those who attended. So a very special day, I felt, across the district. And with really being on the cusp of Thanksgiving and gratitude, certainly this fall has been challenging as a school district and for me personally. And it's just been an incredible reminder for me that Marysville is special because of the people we work with, from the Board of Education to the bus drivers to teachers to aides to principals to parents. You just go on and on and on. That this, the work that happens in our community is really unlike other places. And while sometimes I think it's easy to maybe get discouraged by some comments, I think my heart's never been bigger or more proud of what's happening here in this district. So just wanted to give that gentle reminder as we head into Thanksgiving that there's a lot to be grateful for.
I couldn't agree more. And I think, when you say so much to be grateful for, I think about everything that's happened over just this past month or something, and I was just jotting things down, like our cross-country team, and everybody, as several people have mentioned, the Business National Honor Society induction ceremony, there were 24 inductees, and it really was, there was so much community support there, to speak to your comments there. And FFA, the band craft show in their state competition. They had that fun send-off where people were lining the drive and the police, escorted them out. Football recognition, soccer, lacrosse. And then we had Willy Wonka production at Bunsold, Death by Dessert by the high school kids. Cabaret is this weekend. It's just, I'm sure I'm missing about 50 things right now. There's so many wonderful things, so many wonderful opportunities, so many people who are stepping up to support those kinds of opportunities for our students. We had some recent staff highlights with Mrs. Kim Hodnicek winning that $5,000 STEM classroom grant. Mrs. Morrison publishing a book. I thought, I love the title, The Hardest Working Letter, The Many Jobs of Silent E. So just so many great things going on. It's a great segue into just wishing everybody a very blessed Thanksgiving with family, friends. Hope you have a wonderful, yummy meal and just lots of good time together. I would now accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Keck and second by Mr. Smith. Roll call, please.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mrs. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. We are adjourned at 7:56. Thank you.